This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
All right, it's going to be the power hour
is
right?
Really powerful today.
No doubt. We go from one legendary figure with Derek Wittenberg to another. Carlos Boozer is up early with us.
Worked late, got up early.
Yes, sir.
What time is it in Alaska right now?
What is it, 9 o'clock? It's 5 o'clock.
There it is. No big deal. Lay up.
Last time we saw Boozy, he had a palm tree in his back pocket.
Yeah, now look it. Now look what you've
done. Yeah, now look what you've done, huh?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Day one, what'd you think?
It was great, man. The fans were terrific. This venue is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a great building.
So many great players have played there, so many great teams, coaches. And for me, it just brought back so many memories of the ACC tournament, even though I never played here, but just the environment, watching some of these kids play in the tournament for the first time. Like Champagne last night, how great was he in his first ACC game ever? Did a great job, carried that team to the next round. Very impressive.
You were a Charlotte, Atlanta guy, right?
Yeah.
In your career?
Yeah.
It never was in this building. That was during the spin where it kind of went away for the first time for about 5 years. That just happened to be your crossover. It's a great basketball building.
Oh, it's terrific. Yeah.
Yeah. And you've seen plenty of great venues. We were sitting there telling Corey last night, we were talking about the finality of this deal for a kid like a Brandon Childress, hypothetically, last night for Wake Forest. And unfortunately for Brandon, it turned out to be reality.
Yeah.
Young guys, though, Carlos, they don't seem to be – they just go play.
Yeah.
Champagne, great example of that last night?
Absolutely. I mean, he doesn't – this is his first tournament. He doesn't see the end, the finish line, so to speak. But a guy like Brandon Childress, where you see him at the end of the game, he's trying hard to bring his team back. He wants it so bad. You know, when you're like choking it so hard, he really wants to advance. And he doesn't want that to be his last game. And he struggled a little bit. But Champagne's first game, he also told us very, quite frankly, on the Bennett show that he felt slighted on the all freshman team in the ACC in the conference. Felt like he had something to prove. And I love a guy that has that mentality. Talks the talk and then goes out there and backs it up with terrific play. And he also said that he wanted to play great for his seniors. Like, so he did think about the guys that were here before him, the guys, this could be their last game, and this performance was spectacular.
And Carlos, it sets up for, you know, again, the Pitt NC State game. If you're Pittsburgh, you're playing with house money, right? I mean, you rolled in here, some losing streak, everybody's kind of down the dumps. You said, man, forget that, let's go play.
Yeah.
You get the win, and now NC State must win this game.
Yeah, I agree.
If they're going to get in the NCAA tournament. So it does make that an interesting afternoon matchup where State knows they've got to win, and Pittsburgh's out there going, hey, man, let's just go play basketball.
They got nothing to lose.
Right.
You know what I mean? They weren't supposed to be here today anyway.
Right.
A lot of people had Wake Forest beating them yesterday. Even on our set, we couldn't have, you know, obviously we couldn't predict Champagne having a career high of a night. We thought that, you know, Wake Forest with their experience, Danny Manning, the older guys, would win that game, but we were wrong. Pittsburgh came out, played a great job. Jeff Capel had those boys ready to go. NC State and Pitt had a great game a few weeks ago. I think NC State won by 4 points.
Yep.
Very close game. NC State must win this game to get into the NCAA tournament, at least to get to Thursday. And Pitt, like you said, playing with house money. They got nothing to lose. They're having a great time right now. They played a great game yesterday. They have a little bit of momentum, and we'll see what happens.
We just had a great conversation with Derek about guards.
Yeah.
And guards in this event.
Yes.
And guards in games today. Champagne last night, obviously for Pittsburgh. Garrison Brooks in game two was a difference maker, in part not the scoring and the rebounding necessarily. I thought his ability just to pass the ball, make the good decision, play passable defense, serviceable defense was a big factor. Why the big last night in the Carolina game and maybe the swing guy in the Pitt game, you think?
Well, I feel like Carolina's advantage is going to be up front. I just feel like Garrison Brooks has been playing terrific, especially the second half of the season, especially when they missed Cole Anthony. They had to figure out their identity, where to go to. Their inside play with those two bigs, they can dominate the glass, and they can score inside. Last night, VTech did a good job of doubling Garrison Brooks, especially early in the first half, and he was trying to find his pass, his shooters, his guards. Cole Anthony, those guys were very patient. The second half, the spacing was better. And so it gave Garrison Brooks opportunity to go to work inside. That pick and roll that we talked about where he was getting dunk after dunk after dunk. And then Robinson, who also is a senior, cooked up from
there
the outside, hit 5 for 6 from three, opened it up a little bit, got their lead up even more. And he's also a guy that knows the finality that you guys talk about of this tournament. If we don't win this game, and we don't win, this could be my last game in this uniform.
Yeah.
I don't want to go out with a loser. And that's the bottom line. At this stage in March, either you win it all, or you go home in tears because either you win the championship or every championship you play for, or you lose and you got to go home. So Robinson knows that. He's been through it. Garrison Brooks knows that. He's been through it. They're schooling a young Cole Anthony. Did a great job yesterday of just feeding everybody, playing very poised, making shots when he had to, but looking for everybody. I was very impressed by Carolina yesterday.
The first game is Clemson-Miami, and Wes and I went through all the numbers. They played once. Miami wins the game in Little John in overtime. Neither one of us have a vibe. You know, sometimes you watch, you read enough of this stuff, you kind of, I kind of like Team A versus B. Clemson-Miami, roll the dice. What do you think?
I like Miami. I like Coach L. And to me, they go by the point guard likes. If he can play fast, get out in transition, they have a good chance. But I'm going with Clemson in this game. Reason why, because they got huge wins over all the top teams in our conference. Well, I know they were all at home. This is obviously a neutral site. That makes a big difference. But they did a great job of beating Duke down there. They beat Louisville. They beat every team they had to beat in their building to give themselves a chance.
But they couldn't beat Miami in that building.
And they also lose to some of the worst teams in the conference. So that's the inconsistency that, you know, coaches have long nights over. But I feel like Clemson may have the experience enough to get this win today.
It's interesting, this game in particular, and it's the 8-9 game for a reason, right? Pac? I mean, we live in that world, and this year it's been a lot of glob, as we call it. I'm fascinated by leadership. I'm fascinated by older guys, not necessarily the finality, but you were part of enough successful ACC tournament teams that you get out here, and all of a sudden the things you accomplished during the regular season, you can either build on that, or if it wasn't good enough, you got to find a new path.
Agreed.
And I'll be interested to see who finds the new path today. Mm-hmm. Clemson plays great at home.
They do.
Obviously, the three house wins. The road wins, though, the one at Carolina, they got one at Pittsburgh, they got the one at BC, Mark, and that's about it. That's about it. Now, the one at BC is historical because they shot it like Golden State a year ago.
Right.
I mean, they were everywhere.
And they beat Pitt by 20, which made no sense either.
Makes no sense at all when you think about just the dynamic of the league. So if you're a kid today at Clemson or Miami and you're sitting there waiting to play at noon, what are you thinking? What are you thinking about?
Man, I watched the games yesterday. I saw the success that the two teams had.
Yeah.
And I watched Pitt and how they prepared, how Champagne made a great impact on his team. I saw how Carolina did a great job, especially defensively, making those guards run off the three-point line, take tough shots, even though that team kind of lives and dies by the three, as we know. But regardless of that, their defense was great. If I'm a kid on one of those two teams, I'm going to make a huge impact defensively. I'm going to be all after my man, do a great job of helping. And then offensively, I'm going after. I'm going to be in attack mode all night long because I feel like at this stage in March, it's do or die. Win in advance or go home. Bottom line, either you're going to be watching the rest of the tournament or you can get to play on Thursday. So I'm going to lay it all out there and see what happens.
Let me ask you this about energy.
Yeah.
And it's you got to self-serve your own gas, so to speak, here. Guys who start out who want to bring the energy to a game, they got the advantage over the guy who's – okay, I'm going to let the game play out a few minutes. In this event, neutral court, is energy that big a difference maker?
Yeah, I do. Energy is also contagious, right? So energy transfers. So if I come and I'm being aggressive and I'm crazy, I'm all over the place, I'm trying to make plays, I'm trying to get deflections, it's going to pass on to him. He's going to do it. Then it's going to pass on to you. Like I told a kid the other day in the airport, I said one of the best skills you could have is being energy. Joakim Noah, one of my teammates with the Chicago Bulls, his energy was so infectious. Was he the best shooter? No. Was he the best offensive player? No. But his energy, he brought it every single practice, every single game, and it was really infectious, and it made us a better defensive team. It made us a better offensive team because it really does transfer to your player. So even you may go 0 for 20 from the field, but if you got 15 rebounds, you got 15 deflections, you're diving for loose balls, you're taking charges, it galvanizes your team.
I want to follow up real quick on this, real quick. I'm sorry. Yesterday we saw Isaiah Musius have a lot of energy in the first half of Wake Forest, but he couldn't combat Pittsburgh, who had it as a team, right?
Agreed.
Okay.
Yeah, agreed. Right. He was terrific in the first half. The second half, obviously, you got everybody's attention now. We're going to focus on you a little bit more.
Yeah.
But there's more than one way to affect the game. You don't have to have a 20-point basketball game to be a winner. You can also rebound the ball, get assists, get steals, dive for loose balls. But he really was terrific in that first half.
You know, we were doing a show here Friday for the women's tournament.
Yeah.
And another Duke great sat right there in that chair, Lana Beard. And I asked her phenomenal, right?
She was phenomenal.
Awesome player. Yeah. And knows she's good. But not bragging.
No,
like,
she's a player.
Let's go play, right? You're the same deal, right? You're a player. I asked her point blank, would you rather play early or late? And I was surprised by her answer because normally the great players, hey, when the lights come on at night, it's go time. And she said, you know what? I'd rather play early. I want to go. Yeah. And you talked about the energy. Now, yeah, we got four games here. Mm-hmm. Gates are going to open up here in a couple hours. Yep. And, you know, the Clemson fans will be here. The Miami fans will be here. And eventually NC State and Pitt fans will work, you know. But sometimes in a tournament like this, hey, I'm playing tonight at 9 o'clock. I'm Syracuse, North Carolina. I might have something to do. I'll eventually get there. As a player, though, walking into 22,000 seats for the noon tip, good, bad, or indifferent. You like it early, you like it late.
I'm a player, man.
Doesn't matter.
Throw the ball up. I really don't care. Like, I played games at 1 o'clock. I played games at 10:30 at night. It doesn't matter to me. I want to hoop. I want to prove how good I am. I want to prove how good my team is. And I'll play right. You can go out there and play right now. So I heard a ball bounce a second ago. Ain't nobody out there right now. We can go out there and get some shots up right now.
Can't mop the floor and we'll get shot up.
So,
right?
You know what I mean?
I sense a theme, though, from the ladies' game to the NBA here that, you know what? Baller's ball.
Yeah, right? Baller's ball, man. Yeah.
Carlos said, though, Elena Beard.
Oh, she was
real deal, man. That was a real deal.
We were in school the same year.
Yeah.
And, I mean, listen, there's very few times that a player makes you have to go watch them. Elena was that player. We would go watch her game before our game the next night, and she would do the same thing Jay Will would do.
Yeah.
Jay Will would have 25 on a Sunday. Elena would have 25 on Saturday.
Yeah. You know what I like about her?
What?
When she looks at when you talk ball and she looks at you, it's like she's already scoping you down. Like you know, I know Pat can't play a lick, but you know what? I'm going to just absolutely wear him out in this. And that's why I liked her, because she was cool last week.
But, Boost, we both think we can make 5 of 10.
Oh, we make 5 of 10 from the line now. That's different. Making a free throw is different than being able to play.
Yeah.
That's a whole different story.
When we come back, we're going to dig down a little bit on Booz's ACC playing days. He doesn't know this, but we will. We're going to get into, like, Nate James at the Georgia Dome.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what if Juan Dixon's shot had gone?
Goodness.
Yeah. What if Juan Dixon's shot had fallen? Don't forget, Carlos, Luke Hancock, who, by the way, was dressed like he was helping somebody to their table last night. We'll join Dallin Cuff and Kelsey. Tell me I'm wrong, Carlos.
He had that jacket on.
Jacket on last night. He had the smoker on. It was nice. Hancock will be back, but his shoe game was on point.
Hey, you leave my unverified brother alone.
Hey, by the way, Pack, all day, and it starts right after
all
the last
day
game.
4, 6, 8, or 10.
Yeah.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Power Hour continues. Carlos Boozer hanging out with us for another 15 minutes or so.
And then Phil Ford.
They got Phil
Ford. Derek
Whitberg.
We've done pretty well today.
Yeah, it should be pretty good. We got, of course, more games. We're going to get into all that. But we were talking real estate during the break, of all things.
Yeah, you and Carlos.
Real estate.
Yeah.
So we've been told about some L.A. thing that's going on. What's up with that?
So a long time ago.
Young Boozer?
Young Booze. This is like 22-year-old Booze, one of the stunt Booze. So I got a
fresh off that Fuqua school at Duke.
pretty close. Fresh off a new contract with the Jazz.
Oh, got it. Okay, yeah.
There we go.
Always that new Jazz contract that Packer gets confused with.
There's the milestone that we're looking for right there.
For Packer, it's his new Hornets deal that never quite seems to get mailed.
And that's all right.
That's okay.
I'm good with that.
Yeah. All right, so L.A.
It's like I was living in L.A. at the time.
Playing for the Jazz. Sure.
But I was living in L.A., and I bought this incredible crib. It was 18,000 square feet. 18,000 square feet.
Yeah. Everybody needs an 18,000 square foot home.
You know, the first thing I think of, Carlos, is where can I get my 18,000 square feet?
Right.
Go ahead.
Clifford needs some space.
My cat, I got an OTC that's about 12 pounds, so we got to have 18,000.
Some room to maneuver.
I'm going to have 3 golf holes if I have 18,000 square feet in the house, but go ahead.
So the house was on the market. I went and got the house. I wanted to stunt and just show out that I'd made it and, you know, one of those moments. So I get the crib. Finally, it was the guy that owned Interscope Records, so he was getting a divorce. I scooped it up at a pretty good deal. And my ex-wife at the time decorated the entire crib, did a great job. It's a lot of house to decorate, decorated the whole crib. Then I go to Utah for the season. We're there for, you know, 7-8 months or what have you. I get a call as soon as I get past training camp from my real estate agents that someone wants to rent my house. I said, rent my house? I've only stayed there for a month. I'm in Utah now. I mean, I'm not renting my house. I haven't even lived there myself.
I have heard this story now.
And she goes, well, he wants to pay you $95,000 a month. I said, oh. Well, since I'm going to be gone anyway, I don't mind renting it out for that kind of money. So rented it out. I fly back to L.A. to sign the paperwork. Limo rolls up, steps out the limo, and it's Prince. And I was like, you know, I'm a fan. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
So I'm having like my what do you call it?
Fanboy
moment.
Like
the fan groupie kind of moment.
Sure,
like, I'm like,
oh,
that's Prince right there. And so we signed the paperwork. We go upstairs on the rooftop of the house.
This wasn't a cash deal?
No, it was a rental. So we had to sign paperwork.
Yeah. It's Prince.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to tell you how much paper he had. So we go on the roof. I had a basketball court.
We're not talking about
there.
Legal paper either.
We go on the rooftop, and I had a basketball court that I built up there. We were shooting around. He had a very good jump shot, by the way.
Heard he could play.
Very knowledgeable play. Like, he grew up in Minnesota, huge, huge Kevin Garnett fan. Maybe the biggest Kevin Garnett fan I ever met in my life. Huge basketball knowledge. We had a great conversation. Fast forward. I go back to Utah, go back to playing the season. I tear my hamstring that year. There's a lady in L.A. named Judy Cito who now works for the Lakers. She's a phenomenal PT, physical therapist. I'm flying to L.A. to see her. I hit Prince up. I said, hey, I'm going to come by the house, check on everything. If you need something, let me know. I don't hear from him. I get up to the house. The gate had two gold lions on it when it was my house. I pull up to the gate, and there's no lions. There's this new symbol, which I didn't know that he had changed his name to a symbol. I didn't know what the symbol was.
Sure.
It was, you know, and I'm like, is this my house? Literally, like, is this my, so I go back down the street, check the address, come back up the street.
To make sure I'm going to my house.
Yeah, to make sure I'm going to my house. Put the code in, code works, I go in the house. Go in the gate, go in the house. Get to the house, he changed everything. I'll break it down to you like this. He took 18,000 square feet of decorated home, put it in storage, down to the forks. Redecorated the entire house with black, purple carpets, pictures of himself all over the house.
Oh, boy.
Just in case you need to remind yourself.
Yeah, he had like a heart-shaped bed. I had a weight room that he turned into a nightclub, which actually was pretty cool. Turned the weight room into a nightclub with a disco ball, a DJ booth. But he literally, Prince had so much paper. He spent $95,000 a month for a year on my house. Took 18,000 square feet, put it in storage, redecorated the entire crib. So I'm over here. I'm pissed, by the way. Just so you know. I'm like, what? Like, what the happened to my house?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'm calling them. I'm calling them for like a month, maybe 2 months. Can't get a hold of them. I'm about to sue them. Like, who wants to sue Prince? I really didn't want to sue Prince. But I'm getting legal advice from a lawyer who's like, let's sue Prince. And I'm like, Holt, relax. You know, I'm pushing it off. So he finally calls me back. He's in Asia on a tour. Like, obviously, he's Prince. He can go anywhere he wants and sell out the entire place. He'd sell this out right now.
Sure.
If he was still here, may he rest in peace. But he's in Asia on tour, and he's like, Booz, don't worry. I just wanted the house to look like mine when people came over. When I move out, it'll be like I was never there. I'm going to wire you $500,000 to ease your mind. Don't worry about it.
Wow.
So when he moves out, whenever the date was, I go back to the house the next day. It was like he was never there. He moved all my stuff back in. The weight room was back in place. He had a massage parlor in one room, the bed. It was like he was never there. So, I mean.
That's some long bread.
You know what's interesting about that story?
But the kicker is this.
All right, go ahead. There's a kicker.
I bought the house at $8.4 million, and he rented it for 1 year. Didn't want to stay there after he stayed there. So we sold it for $12.3 the next year, right? Just because Prince rented the house out.
You know what else is amazing about that story? Wes Durham did the same thing to my house. We made the suite for him for Packer and Durham. I walked into the guest room.
Yeah.
It's all Wes Durham pictures.
Everywhere.
Cat stuff all over the place. You think I'm going to see a dime from that? No. You consider yourself, well, he was a smart business move.
Thank you.
I got to tell you something. There's no need to talk about basketball. That is awesome. That is so good. That is such a good story.
That's crazy.
I will ask you this.
Yeah.
If you had to pick a moment from the ACC tournament. Now, we saw you cut the nets down in Charlotte. You guys won. I mean, did you win four in a row?
I won three in a row.
You won three in a row.
Yes, sir.
What does that mean? What does it mean when it's happening? What's it mean today? What's your favorite moment of an ACC tournament?
I just feel like, you know, you get up every morning, you go get shots up, you run extra sprints, you get extra weights, you grind with your team all year round. It's for March. It's for this time. So, you know, when you get here to the tournament, and you get a chance to show your skill against the rest of the conference and how good you are, you could have a great regular season losing the first game. You know, to put three games together to win the ACC championship.
Josh Powell got no answer, by the way.
To win
right
three
there.
In a row. I also got the MVP 1 year, I think, too. That was a huge honor because I'm playing with so many great players. I'm playing for a great coach. We're playing against great competition. And to be honored that way, it means all your hard work paid off.
All right, one question I've got for you. Is Mike Krzyzewski the greatest ACC tournament coach ever?
I mean, he's Mr. March. Absolutely.
Won 15 of them.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he puts a special emphasis on winning this thing. It's important.
It's important to him. Every year, like we'd have that talk after the season was over. No matter what happened, if you lost 10 games during the season, if you lost 2 games during the season, this matters. This is everything. So, and usually, I don't know how, maybe not this year, but usually whoever won the ACC would end up being having number one seed somewhere in the East or somewhere in the South somewhere. So this year may be a little bit different, but normally you win the ACC, you're number one seed.
Yeah, nobody knew that better than him. And I think what he did 2 years ago in Brooklyn, winning 4 in a row and the way they did it.
Absolutely.
Kind of solidified his legacy, certainly in this tournament.
Absolutely.
I've thrown the stat out. They won 12 titles, been to the finals 14 times, and gone 48-10 the last 22 years in the tournament.
Remarkable.
It is.
Yeah, it's remarkable. Yeah. It's hard to do. Think about the competition, the players, the coaches. Yeah.
Right.
Remarkable. And you know what? In your Duke, you get everybody's best shot. Yeah. You know, nothing's ever easy when you're on
You go to Duke, North Carolina, those, especially in ACC, you're going to get everybody's best shot. That's everybody's Super Bowl against you.
Yeah. Let me tell you what happened last Saturday night real quick, because I complimented him yesterday on taking care of the team, right? So the Nothing But Net crew goes to Cameron last week for the Duke-Carolina game, right? And, you know, and we said on the show, Booz is going to be right there in the old former player seats, which is 4 rows right there behind the bench. Yeah. Well, Booz leveraged Kelsey and Dallin and everybody else up in the seats with him, right? So much to the point that Shane Battier was apologizing to Dallin for standing in front of him. And Dallin Cuff played at Columbia, really no count in the Iron Duke seat of the former players, right? However, I give you full credit. You took care of your teammates. Yeah. You shared the ball the other night. And I told Dallin, don't worry about going back. Don't ever worry about going back, because what you did last Saturday night, you'll never be able to replicate.
Absolutely.
Sitting where you sat for that ball game.
That was a great game.
And it was a win.
Yeah.
There you go.
Can't beat it.
Thanks a ton for doing this.
Man, anytime, guys.
Enjoy the late shift. Hope Corey Alexander doesn't stomp on y'all's parade again tonight.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
He was great.
Oh, he's
thanks
fun.
For having me, guys. I appreciate it. And thanks for the sugar cake, by the way.
Dewey's.
Yeah.
Baby.
Wow. Had no idea Dewey's sugar cake was his.
Wow.
We're making friends with people. Have no idea how.
Have no idea.
This is gold.
It's
what this
ACC
is.
Tournament, Greensboro-ish kind of thing.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
In a lot of ways, Greensboro and the ACC tournament are synonymous.
It's historically something that we look forward to. When the tournament comes, you see it just bubbles up the whole community.
There's a historical aspect of the tournament when it's in Greensboro that can't be matched anywhere else.
Packer and Durham, Power Hour continues. Derek Wittenberg, Carlos Boozer, and truly one of the all-timers when it comes to this tournament, the one and only Phil Ford.
Thank you.
Let me just tell you one thing before we get started. I was 12 or 13 years old in this building, sitting right up there, big NC State fan. And boy, did I hate you. I mean, you drove me crazy. That four corners, that man, nobody can guard that 12, dude. Billy, what are we doing with it? What, how in the world do you stop the four corners when Phil Ford's got the ball in his
hands? I remember your dad interviewed Walter and me in the dressing room after the game.
Yep. Man, you were awesome, dude.
Well,
what a player.
How in the world is it 45 years ago?
I don't know, man, but sometimes when I'm sitting down watching television and my wrist just starts aching for no reason at all, I can tell you it's 45 years.
Well, it's a treat to have you here.
Thank you.
Especially at this event.
You know, I would anything for you guys.
In this building. What does this event mean? I mean, Witt talked about 83 in Atlanta. Carlos talks about winning it in Charlotte. But, Phil, there's something about Greensboro. Something about Greensboro and this event.
Well, to me, and I'm not just saying it because I live close to here, I think this is the best place to have the ACC tournament because of, the proximity of the schools is almost kind of halfway. And, you know, Greensboro is a big enough city. that it can handle the people that come in. But then again, it's not so big that the traffic is really going to kill you. The parking is great here. The other facilities that you can hold events are great here. So I just think this is the best place to have the event. And, you know, it's been here for years. You know, Greensboro loves the ACC tournament. You know, I remember when my first year over here, it was craziest thing I ever seen in my life. I looked up in the stands one time, and it was people fighting, man. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah.
You know what, though? The city embraces this event. I think maybe more so than any other place. And again, Charlotte does a great job. Brooklyn was out of sight. Going to D.C. But the folks here are basketball fans, right? I mean, they know stats. They know if Phil Ford's playing well or not. They know if Markel Johnson's not making outside. You know, whatever it is, you can go back to yesteryear or what's going on now. This city has always embraced the event. And it doesn't matter what restaurant you go to. It doesn't matter what bar you're watching the game in. You can be out in the parking lot. People always talking hoops. It's really unique here.
You go to a hotel and the maids on their carts, they have stickers on the carts. Yeah, the city really gets behind this tournament.
By the way, behind us right now, Florida State, the number one seed, is out. You've seen some really unique teams. What about this team right here is the team to beat?
Well, it's a typical Florida State team to me. They are always long and athletic, and, you know, they play with just incredible athleticism. They have skilled players at certain positions, and this just happened to be a year that I think for Coach Hamilton, everything came together. I think they've always been great, but this year they were extraordinary.
Interesting, too, because of their depth, Phil. They're so, I mean, what is it, 12, 13, 14
guys?
Well,
he's always had that, though. You know, it just seems like he plays 20 a night to me. I mean, I bet he does play 10. I bet.
Yeah,
I haven't looked at it, but I would say he plays 10 guys.
Yeah. It's kind of amazing.
But, you know, you love that, though, as a player, because you know what? You got to be ready to go. And, you know, when you get your 3 or 4 minutes, you better go bust it and come on.
If you recruit like that and kids know that they're going to play, you know, that helps you.
The way this event evolves, and last night Carolina obviously came here and got an important win, one that keeps them going against Virginia Tech. A lot has been discussed about this Carolina team, the injuries, the sidetracks, the offensive inequities, all those type things. From your viewpoint of watching Carolina basketball for as long as you have, is it possible that once they got all the pieces together, that this is the team we were supposed to have seen for most of the year, the one playing now?
Well, I was in the Carolina section last night, and a guy walked up to me that was a Carolina fan and said that you know, no one has seen the Carolina team play this year because we play so many different teams. You know, I mean, I heard Coach Williams say Brandon, Cole, and Garrison has only played 8 games together.
That was it. Last night was the 8th game against an ACC opponent.
Yeah, and that's crazy. You know, your top 3 players only play 8 games together. So, you know, they've gotten better like every Carolina team does. Coach Williams is so nice to me. He still lets me come to a lot of the practices and, you know, I watch them, and, you know, I don't know how Coach Williams has done it. Those guys are so enthusiastic. They're behind each other. There's no bickering. Everybody pulls for each other. You know, when you have a season like this, a lot of times the wheels fall off, you know. But, you know, I'm just impressed with these guys. I'm glad all of them came to Carolina. They're great kids.
Phil, for North Carolina to get into the dance, they're going to have to win 5 in 5 days.
Yeah.
Players play. You know, 18, 19, 20-year-old kids – they've been playing basketball every day their whole life.
Right, exactly.
I mean, but I know you got to have quality depth. The team that we're watching right now in practice has more quality depth than anybody else in the league. And they're going to have 2 days off before they play anybody. But for North Carolina, again, they got a positive mojo, feeling good. They get Syracuse tonight. They've owned the Cuse. They beat them 9 straight.
But in this tournament, that doesn't matter.
Right. And that's where I'm kind of going with you. You know, and I know it's not a 5, got to win 5 in a row. You got to win today.
Right.
All you
got to
do is win today. You win today, you got a chance tomorrow. Right. From a fatigue standpoint, whether you were playing or now watching practice or whatever, can you pull that off?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't think. Now, don't get me wrong. You do get fatigue, but if they were, let's say they were out of season, they would probably play Monday through Friday every day anyway.
Right.
Probably just as long as you play a game. So it can be done. Now, some teams have it off. Those teams are probably going to practice the days they have off. So I think it can be done. Yeah.
Do we make too much of the fatigue with teams now, the way basketball's built?
I don't think you make too much of it, you know, because don't get me wrong, you know, the team that, you know, has the fresher legs does have an advantage. But when you get in a tournament like this and an adrenaline gets flowing, you know, I mean, I remember back in 75, we had two overtime games before we played State.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody was tired on our team going into the final game.
Well, that's right, because it was Wake Forest, what, the first day? Clemson in the semis?
Overtime, both overtime.
The night the tree fell?
Man, I don't know how that ball didn't go in.
Well,
I'm looking right at Mitch on it, too. That rebound came right back to him, and his jump hook, he just made one.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's the Clemson ode. The Tigers have only played for the championship twice.
Yeah, we got hosed by the refs when Billy Packer played in 62.
I'm telling you. And it gets better because the whole thing there is. Played for the title in 62, lost to Billy.
Uh-huh.
And in 08, lost to Hansborough in Charlotte.
Right. Is that when Hansborough made the shot?
He beat Virginia Tech in the semis on the shallow baseline.
Yeah. Right.
But we're not allowed to run that because Greenberg gets really upset in the studio. All right.
So, Seth's my man. That's all right.
Oh, I like Seth a ton. All right. So here I am, 75. Everybody talks about State Carolina in the championship game on the Saturday night. You become the first freshman to win the MVP award. But the semifinal game, Phil, the semifinals, we were just talking about Wittenberg. Everybody talks about them winning it in 83. Over Virginia, they forget how good the semi was against Carolina.
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it? The semis deliver as much as the title game.
Well, that's this tournament, and this tournament has been like that for years. I mean, wasn't it 75, I think the largest margin of victory was 5 points
or six points or something
like that.
And yeah, 75, game, they set the tournament record. They had six games, and the differential was 3.3 points.
Yeah. And the year before that, we probably had arguably the greatest game ever in a tournament when you had Maryland and State playing against each other. So this tournament is crazy, man. I'm telling you, you can just throw out. I mean, when adrenaline gets flowing, anything can happen.
I asked Carlos Boozer about Coach K. He's won 15 ACC tournament titles. You played for one of the all-timers, right, in Dean Smith. What was it like as a freshman walking into this place, pressure, everything else? And Coach Smith always had this amazing ability to keep people calm. Hey, here's our job. Let's go take care of business.
There are a million people in China don't know we're playing tonight.
That's the line.
There it is, right? I mean, it was just.
He had to say that a lot to our crew my freshman year.
Did you buy that?
Yeah, because you got to realize Coach Smith did an unbelievable job. We lost. They had the tournament called the Big Four tournament that year.
Yeah.
And we came in last, man. We lost two games in the Big Four tournament, which was December. And then 3 months later, we win the entire thing. I mean, it was just unbelievable the job he did with us.
We've talked about the Big Four a lot since we started the radio show, 2 years and change ago? Could the Big Four be played again?
That's too many times, I think. You know, I mean, you can meet somebody maybe four times during the season. And, you know, it's hard to beat somebody three times, but four times.
That's not what NC State says when they see that light blue. they don't want to hear any part of that, Phil.
I'm going to be with Wittenberg Raff on Monday at a banquet, and I'm sure they're going to let me have it.
Yeah, I think so, huh?
Yeah.
But it is interesting what that event in this building in early December used to mean to ACC basketball.
Oh, yeah. It was a big event, huge event.
And you guys went to play in Charlotte, the Old North South.
That
was a great event.
Yeah, but we didn't play each other then.
Right.
But we did play another event in Charlotte. I loved that tournament down there. It was great, man.
Who liked it, you or Walter Moore?
Walt was home.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
You know, Pineville, man. That was right around the corner.
I'm telling you, man, I used to go home with him when we were in school. It was nothing out there, man. But now you go talk about 45 years. Jeez. It's crazy.
I'm going to go back to Dean Smith a second, though. Practices with Coach Smith. What do you remember about that?
Man, they were hard. I used to kid him all the time. The practices were harder than the games. I mean, everything was time. It was so much discipline involved. He didn't miss a thing. I could be standing on the sideline, wasn't actually out on the court playing. He'd blow the whistle and ask me a question about what just went out on the court. And, you know, it was well put together. And there wasn't anything that could happen in a basketball game that we hadn't gone over at one time. So he was a great teacher.
And he didn't raise his voice, though. Or did he?
That's funny. You know, when he died, a lot of people from around the country, reporters were calling me, asking me about Coach, and You know, he was such a mild man and a meek man. And I said, you guys never been to practice. Now, don't get me wrong. I never heard him swear. But, boy, he couldn't raise his voice. He was intense. Oh, yeah. Extremely intense.
But the attention to detail was
Yeah, I've seen him. I've seen him upset with a player, I won't call his name, that was standing in one spot, but he was a big guy. And had he spread his legs, he would have been standing in the other spot, but coach wanted him just, I guess the angle or something that, you know how coach's mind was, he could see things that most people couldn't see. But details were very important to him. And he had this thing, you know, we're creatures of habit. You know, whatever we, you know, you're going to do what's a habit to you. You know, when the game gets tight or, you know, or you get a little winded, you know, you aren't going to remember what coach said, do it this way. You're going to remember what's a habit to you, especially in a game that's as fast as basketball.
And for when the game was going on and it was intense, was he just...
Oh, no, he didn't. He was as cool as...
That was his strength.
Oh, my gosh. I'm telling you, sometimes we'd go to the bench and he'd be so calm and cool. And I'm thinking to myself, is he looking at the same scoreboard I'm looking at? You know, I mean, he was just always supportive and always calm and... You know, and that kept us calm and cool. And we just always thought we could win. You know, we always had a chance.
And you did. Especially as an NC State kid growing up. It was always at number 12 in North Carolina. Always.
Packer and Durham.
GEICO has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Look what we have done on this set, by the way.
You know, we ran out of time the other day. We had the shot clock violation, so you've come back for more. Your boys are back here practicing.
This is a first, by the way. First time ever at an ACC tournament somebody's practicing and the coach is up here doing something on the television network.
Actually, it happened yesterday.
It did happen.
That's what happens when you have ability.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
And it's nice to know, as Leonard Hamilton joins us here with Phil Ford, that Leonard got up here and wanted to talk to Phil about some 1978 East Regional Final when Carolina played Kentucky at Cole Fieldhouse, and he's still laying wood on
that,
you.
That wasn't me. That was John Kirsten. I had an elbow. My elbow was killing me. You know, you got the problem with Kirsten. He was MVP in the regional.
And Leonard, the first thing Ford says to you, could you go get some recruits out there? Some athleticism? Are you kidding me? That's coming from Ford over here.
How you doing?
Well, I tell you what, I know how I'm doing later on in March. I always tell people, they ask me how you doing. I say, I know sometime later on in March how I'm doing. Hopefully the 1st of April.
Well, the fact that you're hanging out with us while your guys are practicing tells me you got some confidence with these guys. It's been some kind of year.
Well, I'm trying to maintain my composure, and sometimes practices get to be a little stressful.
Is that what it is? Well, that's why we got some sugar cake for you to chill out with.
What's it mean to you? You and I talked in Raleigh a couple weeks ago. You were kind of asking me about double buys and things like that. I told you then I thought you'd go in the regular season. You've got to be proud of the way your team finished this journey in the 20 games.
Well, there's no doubt that I'm very proud of the guys with the mentality that we've been able to play with all year long. These guys have great chemistry. They get along very well. They cheer for one another. And that's probably the strength of our team, our ability to share the ball, share playing time, and realize that when someone else is their night, that you embrace it. And that's really the strength of our team, the culture that we've been able to create.
You're a North Carolina guy. What about this building, walking in the Greensboro Coliseum for the ACC tournament?
Well, I was listening to Brandon Robinson in the post game. He said it felt like a home game in North Carolina. but this is what basketball was all about. You understand, I'm from Gastonia. I remember watching all the ACC tournaments, and I get chills, I get goosebumps, you know, when I come here, because I know how much it means to the area, how much it means to the people. And there's no doubt that it's tailgating, it's festive. This is a great atmosphere for a tournament, no doubt about that.
We were visiting a couple weeks ago. You'll appreciate this, Phil. We were talking about growing up in the state of North Carolina, as we all did, the benefit of ACC basketball, but what it meant to basketball in this state. And some of the guys, you know, Charlie Scott, we talked about Henry Logan at Western Carolina.
Yes.
We talked about all these guys that had such – Gil McGregor at Wake Forest, Al Hartley at NC State, all these guys that had unbelievable impact on basketball in the state of North Carolina, whether they played in the ACC or not, Leonard.
But what has happened is the basketball, ACC basketball during that era of segregation, the integrated ACC basketball teams probably did more for integration than just about anything you can think of. Because it kind of brought people together. Even the high school that I went to, Highland High School, the year that they integrated in Gastonia, all five guys from my school goes down to Ashley, and they won the state tournament. And I think they might have been undefeated. That did more for the racial climate in Gastonia than anything you can think of. And I also think it brought the state a whole lot together, and it made that transition very easy.
When Charlie Scott started playing at Carolina, that's when I started. I was in the sixth and seventh grade, and every little kid in J.W. Parker Junior High School was going to be Charlie Scott and play for Dean Smith.
That was a game changer.
I was going to all African American school.
Yeah,
I was going to all African American school at that time.
By the way, the success you've had this year, and we've talked about the whole new blood, which was a great line, by the way.
That's a great line, yeah.
But, you know, now that that's rear view mirror, because I know how you coaches are, it's the next game. I know how you guys operate. Has it felt different a little bit, the fact that, hey, you know what? Hey, we've just won the ACC regular season, and now it's go time.
For our school, our administration, the student body, obviously they're really, really excited. And there's no doubt that the old coach here, I feel good about where we are. But I've been very blessed to have been in these situations many, many times. And I just think that we have more to accomplish. I feel good about this team, but until we in a conference with so many blue bloods, that we're always playing catch up. There's always a mountain to climb. And I want to stay focused and keep our guys understanding that we need to keep trying to get a little more of a notch on our belt. We need to start moving up that ladder. And I'm always motivated, and I try to keep that in front of our players, that we're in the best. So now in order to be the best, you got to play the best. And we still got a lot to accomplish.
All right. 8 years ago, you won this in Atlanta with Michael Snare and a great team. Bernard James on that team. I mean, you just had a really, really good team. This team, it's a different team, I know, but what characteristics of the 12 team exist in the 20 team?
Well, we've been consistent throughout, you know, our tenure at Florida State. We've gotten guys who are understated coming in, and they really kind of play with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. But more than anything else, we've developed a chemistry, a unity, a togetherness that I think they really understand. That's the way we have to play in order for us to be successful. You know, we have a theme. We're 18 strong. We got to win games by committee. We have three things we lack for them to do. We want to play hard, defend, and play unselfish. And that's what we keep hammering home. And that seems to be the reason why we've been able to make the progress that we've made.
You remember that guy back in 75?
I don't even want to talk about that. Because, I mean, I'm being honest with you. That was one of the more disappointing events that I've ever had to attend. Because I thought that was one, might have been one of the best teams we had in Kentucky. I thought we were destined to win the Final Four.
I think it worked out the next year.
I know it.
78 was just fine for you guys, right? So 77 didn't go well. 78 was fine, right?
Matter of fact, I saw at a Kentucky NASCAR race last summer, I ran into Goose, and he was talking about that.
Oh, my goodness.
Why are Goose Gibbons
and
Rick Rowe?
And every time you say Goose, poor Mike Jeminski starts to clench.
So Spinarco, them guys, Gino, they checking. Thank you for doing this. Great to be with you. Congratulations.
Good luck. Thank you.
My man, appreciate you.
Anything for you guys.
Number 12, Phil Ford, that's a front row number at Smith Center. Not in all the cluster. This is a front row guy. Leonard Hamilton, Carlos Boozer, Derek Wittenberg, Pack. I think we did okay today.
Lauren
Brownlow was here.
Oh, yeah. Cast of thousands, the true stars behind the scenes to make it work.
We will be back on this set tomorrow morning to get you ready for the quarterfinals. We'll see top seed Florida State tomorrow, along with Virginia, Louisville, and Duke in their debut here at the Greensboro Coliseum. What a real treat this turned out to be on a Wednesday. We hope you have a great day.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.